Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wise, the app that makes managing your money in different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money internationally at the mid-market exchange rate. No guesswork and no hidden fees. Learn more about how Wise could work for you at wise.com.
Today on State of the World, a visit to a town under fire in eastern Ukraine. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Friday, March 22nd. I'm Greg Dixon. Today, our Ukraine reporter takes us to eastern Ukraine, near the front lines. That area was first attacked by Russians 10 years ago, and the fighting became much more intense after the full-scale invasion in 2022. But now, Russians are advancing in eastern Ukraine, as Ukrainian soldiers run low on ammunition and weapons. NPR's Joanna Kakissis takes us to a town that is now under constant fire and constant fear.
Serhiy Chaus wants to take us to a place that doesn't exist anymore, except in memory. Imagine, he says, a town surrounded by ponds and forests, birds chirping, the scent of fresh earth and blossoms everywhere.
There was this pond called Goldfish, which had this incredibly beautiful oak grove. We gathered there with our families. Everyone had their favorite spot where they could sit for an hour and meditate in nature.
He's remembering his hometown of Chasiv Yar as it was. He spent nearly all of his 42 years there, almost his entire life. It started to change 10 years ago when pro-Russia separatists took over part of the region that includes the town. Then came the full-scale invasion. Chaus was appointed something like a wartime mayor, and he often dresses from head to toe in army green. His wife and children were moved to safety long ago, and he watched thousands of other residents flee, especially after the Russians occupied a nearby city. Now the front line is just a short drive away from Chasiv Yar, and only a few hundred people remain.
Most of them are elderly. They no longer cling to the future. They cling to the past. Some say their lives are over. I tell them there is still life ahead, and every day should be bright.
Chao sleeps in a nearby city. Being there allows him to collect food, bottled water, firewood, and blankets, and deliver them to his constituents. They have no power or running water. On a recent morning, we join him on one of his rounds.
Can you help?
We're stopping to pick up bread and trays of hot food when the air raid siren starts up again, and we all put on body armor. The mayor tells us to shut off our phones so Russian forces can't track the signal. We drive in silence with the windows down to better hear drones and artillery in case we need to take cover. As we near Chasiv Yar, we pass the forest the mayor remembered earlier, where he used to meditate. The trees are now dead, the ponds an ashy gray. Instead of families having lakeside picnics, there are freshly dug trenches.
We're getting out here?
When we arrive in town, most of the buildings look empty and crushed. The mayor clenches his jaw and unloads his van.
Serhiy, what are you going to do here today?
He says we're going to try to deliver this bread, this food, and then we'll see how things go. The air smells burnt, heavy with propellant and spent munitions. Drones fly overhead. We hear explosions practically every minute.
Okay.
Tatiana Protsenko doesn't flinch. She's waiting for the mayor in the ruins of a mini market. Still intact above the doorway hangs a sign with drawings of chocolates, bread, and sausage that you could once buy here.
Hello.
Dobry.
Dobry den.
Dobry den.
Are they bringing you some bread?
Вам хлібчик привезли?
Да, да, хлебушек. Спасибо, конечно,
yes,
спасибо.
Yes,
еду нам привозят, пришла, хлебушек, так что. Спасибо большое.
Is that borscht?
It's a borscht.
Borscht, huh?
Protsenko is a retired school guard. She will share the food the mayor has brought with their neighbors when it's safe.
Aren't you scared? Don't you want to leave?
Да, плати, за які квартири, куди їхати?
Where can I go, and how can I support myself, Protsenko says. I left and came back because I don't have enough money, she says. So here we survive with bread and food that is brought to us. The mayor calls Chasiv Yar the shield town. He says it's taking so much fire to shield a bigger city, Konstantinovka, which has a railway hub the Russians want. This is it, 12 miles away. Late last month, Russian forces bombed the train station, now a pile of rubble. But the rail lines both sides need to supply troops are intact. The strike also damaged a church across the street. Workers are replacing the windows. A gray-haired man who identifies himself as Hanadi is sweeping up broken glass and pieces of concrete. He doesn't want to give his last name because he fears for his safety. Everyone here wants this war to stop, he says. Everyone is tired. As we talk, a Russian jet flies overhead. Hanadi keeps working, even after it drops a bomb somewhere in the distance.
There's another one.
The townspeople here say the Russian occupation is like a cancer, slowly metastasizing towards them, to kill their city. Konstantinovka's utilities still provide power and water, but many residents need food and health supplies. So they gathered a local hub for humanitarian aid.
Kristina
Vasiliev helps run it. She's originally from Bakhmut, a half-hour drive away in peacetime, and the site of the bloodiest battle of the war. The Russians took the city, now a wasteland. She fears the same end for Konstantinovka.
I can say from experience that people will stay here until the last moment. Until the situation is absolutely critical.
She survived the bombing of the city's main market last September. It killed 15 people, and it changed her profoundly.
I constantly ask myself, should I stay or should I go? Every time I hear a bomb hit, I tell myself it won't hit me again. At least not today.
She hears and sees explosions every day, from artillery, mortar rounds, and bombs dropped from planes. The front line is moving closer. Back in Chasiv Yar, Mayor Serhii Chaus is trying to get to the other side of town, which is much closer to the fighting and much more dangerous. He wants to reach what's left of the utilities department. A woman in her 70s is taking refuge there, and she and a couple of locals are sweeping the streets. War or not, it's a matter of dignity. The mayor wants to help. Another explosion. He says, well, these are the conditions we work in, and today is not the loudest day. He thinks it over, then returns to his car and drives through what's left of his hometown. Joanna Kakissis, NPR News, reporting from Chasiv Yar and Konstantinovka, Ukraine.
That's the State of the World from NPR. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again soon.
On Wildcard, the new podcast from NPR, you'll hear people like comedian Jenny Slate reflect on their lives. What is something you think about very differently today than you did 10 years ago?
Dressing, like not salad dressing. I've always loved it and I'll never stop. Dressing my body.
That's all part of the new game show Wildcard, only from NPR. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Sattva. Sattva luxury mattresses are every bit as elegant as the most expensive brands, but because they're sold online, they're about half the price. Visit SAATVA.com/NPR and save an additional $200. This message comes from NPR sponsor Betterment. Confusing eye contact with a mysterious stranger is never chill, but Betterment is the investing app that lets you be totally chill about your finances. Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.